Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Nomad Royalty, traded on the TSX under the symbol NSR, and also on the NYSE, also under the symbol NSR. We are chatting with the founder and CEO, Vincent Metcalf. Now, Vince, it's been a while since we last had you on the show. It was actually back in December that we last chatted. So I think the best part for us to start here is recapping the 2021 year for Nomad, which was the first full year of operations. Remember, Nomad just went through its initial listing in May of 2020. Company came out of the gate very fast with some fairly large royalties and has continued to build on that royalty portfolio. A lot of other royalty companies that came out during that time, they only have maybe one. Maybe they don't even have any producing royalties. Nomad, though, again, in a much different position as a lot of those other royalty companies. Vince, take us through the 2021 year in terms of some of the financial results that you can highlight, please.
Yes, thank you, Corey. So 2021 was a very, very busy year for us. It was a lot of transactions, but I would say the main transactions to focus on were the last two that we did in 2021, which were the first one was the Greenstone Goldstream acquisition on the Greenstone Gold Mine in Ontario, Canada, which is in construction as we speak. And then the second one, which we announced late in 2021 in December, on the Platreef PGM mine, which we actually ended up buying a gold stream on. So those two projects, you know, you're talking about tier one projects, you're talking about tier one operators, new mines. Those two deals took a tremendous amount of work to get to the finish line, but these are true jewels. If you look at, you know, the global royalty and streaming sector, these are probably two of the best deals that were done in the last 5 years in our sector. And we're obviously very happy to have been able to get those to the market. So that's on the acquisition front. Then, you know, from a corporate point of view, you know, we also listed the business on the NYC. That was obviously a very big step for us. So we're on the main board now. That actually, you know, opens up a very nice pool of investors that previously weren't necessarily, we weren't able to get them to buy the Nomad shares. And I'm quite happy because since we've done that, we've seen our liquidity on the US front increase. And then recently we also raised, you know, $42 million and we've seen our liquidity increase, you know, dramatically. And we could touch on that a bit later, but, you know, really to finish off, you know, the year last year, it's really been a big transaction year. We also added the copper royalty on Caserones, which is a big mine. And obviously with the copper price doing so well, it was a great timing for us to do that back in May last year. So a very, very big year that's transformed Nomad from what it used to be, 18, 24 months ago, and really put it, you know, on the map, I would say, alongside the other mid-caps and perhaps, you know, in discussion with some of the senior companies out there. So we're in a great spot, great place. And now, you know, we've also seen a bit of good support on the share price. So happy to see that happen as well.
Yeah, Vince, you guys have really been on the move since the beginning of this year in a good direction, better liquidity. I think the dual listing also helped, but I also think people are looking for companies that have growth on their profile. And with the number of deals you've transacted, but also the growth in gold equivalent ounces that you outlined, I think it'd be nice to review that. I mean, a couple of years ago, you were mentioning where you started, where you are now. You had an 8% growth profile moving forward for 3 years, and now it's 130% gold equivalent ounce growth profile for 2022 through 2025. So maybe speak to us about what are the gold equivalent ounces you can expect in 2022, and why are things growing so aggressively in the next couple of years?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, we started with we'll call it a starter pack of assets when we listed the company. But as you mentioned, you know, Platreef and Greenstone, which we just talked about, and Caserones were three of the main assets that we've added. But if you look at Robertson also, that's going to be coming online end of 2024. You know, this year we're probably looking at around 25,000 ounces or so of deliveries versus, say, last year was more around 16,000 ounces. So there's a tremendous amount of growth this year already. But the insane thing is when you start looking at 2024 and 2025, then you're looking at 60,000 ounces plus per year. So a tremendous amount of growth, which is already within the portfolio. So it might not necessarily be paid for in the sense that we have a few more deliveries to pay as part of the Greenstone and the Platreef acquisitions that we've done, but we have the financial capacity as we sit here today to honor those payments. So we're in a very good spot, and that's what's great for the investors is as they come in here with, you know, Nomad trading at say 950 or so a share, you're at a very, very good level versus our peers. When you look at the valuation of our company, you know, we're probably trading 30, 40% below where we should be trading when you compare to our other peers. So there's a tremendous, you know, this is a tremendous time for investors to be looking at Nomad. And we've seen a bit of support recently in our stock. We've seen big blocks happen. So we know that even on the institutional front, there's probably a few funds that have seen that value in their starting positions. But, you know, a very good position to be looking, a very good time to be looking at our stock. And, you know, not to forget, we still pay that very interesting dividend. So we're paying a 2.1% yield. We've paid now 7 dividends. So it's, again, the business has changed a lot in the last couple of years, but it's never been, safer and more diversified. So as you mentioned, there's a lot of new players in the royalty and streaming sector. But I think we're starting to kind of lead the pack as you know, quality surfaces when you look at our portfolio and the quality of, I would say, operators, which is one of the main things to look at when investors look at our sector.
So one thing that also sets Nomad apart from a lot of those new entrants into the royalty space is that you guys have the ability, cash-wise and through your past experience in the market, to create royalties and streams rather than simply just go out there and purchase already existing royalties. Vince, what's the environment like right now for you guys in terms of creating new deals? I know you can't tell us about any new deals that might be in the works, but what could be expected and just how available are there new deals right now? Is, in all fairness, we have continued to see outside of the largest major companies, a lot of precious metal stocks especially continue to struggle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, when you look at the deals we did last year, we actually ended up doing, you know, the Platreef deal with Ivanhoe, which is obviously a very large operator. And same thing with the Equinox Orion JV on Greenstone. So those were actually well-established operators. When you look at the rest of the market, you're correct to say that some of them are struggling. And I would say, you know, whether it's delays in permits, or I would say most importantly is delays in putting project financings together. It's not easy to put those things together. But I think just on the back of the Platreef and Greenstone deal, we have gotten, you know, inbounds from groups that perhaps, prior to us releasing those deals, maybe wouldn't have thought as Nomad as being a suitable party for them to talk to when putting those project financings together. But now that we've been able to show those deals, we're actually getting more and more calls. So for us, that was a big plus. And there's less and less, you know, the number of groups that are able to help developers project finance is not very big. And especially on the royalty and streaming front, you know, there are the two big boys, but they're not going to look at the smaller sized deals as close as we do. So it definitely opens up a very nice, you know, opportunity for us to do things. And no, that's why we created Nomad, because we recognized that opportunity. And I think we're able to really leverage that at the moment. So I think 2022 is going to be a bit similar to 2021 in terms of, we might not do deals, you know, tomorrow morning, but we're working on deals on a constant basis. Whether we get them out in a month or in 6 months, that's a different story. But we're very, very busy. And I think, as I said, that's what investors should expect, is if we do deals and if we come out with deals, it's because they're going to be the right ones.
Well, Vince, I do think Nomad is positioned in an interesting spot. And just for lack of better words, I'll call you like a mid-tier at this point in the royalty space, because there are the very largest of the large that, you know, that may go to some of the senior royalty companies. But like you said, they're not looking downstream at some of the, I would say, the mid-sized deals that Nomad could take advantage of. And then there's the very small royalty companies that are trying to buy very small existing royalties that aren't going to really move the needle much. You have the ability with Nomad to be able to go after those mid-sized deals. We've talked about the Greenstone and the Platreef deal, and you mentioned the deal with Robertson going into production next year with the Barrick Newmont combo and Nevada Gold Mines JV. And you mentioned Caserones as well with the copper mining that JX Nippon runs. But are there any other producing assets that you want to highlight that are also bringing revenues into the company?
Yeah, well, I was just at Blyvoor a couple of weeks ago. That's the South African mine. And, you know, that's was probably one of our largest assets at the moment. And, you know, we've seen significant improvements there since the first quarter of 2022. And I think, you know, when you look at the mining rates, you know, they're improving, you know, tremendously over the last few months. And I think for March, they're reaching record throughput. So, you know, for us, that's going to be a big one to show the market that things are working out. And, you know, because, you know, we have a 10% stream there. So if they produce 5,000, we get 500 ounces. So, I mean, if, you know, the quicker they ramp up that asset, the better it's going to be for us. And that's an asset that has, you know, right now in the mine plan, over 5.5 million ounces in reserves, but there's actually 20 million ounces of resources behind that. So, you know, it's a very, very large operation. So the quicker that one ramps up, that should be a very, very big plus for us. So that, you know, we're going to be tracking a lot and on a constant basis. And then the other assets, you know, you've seen some, as you mentioned, Robertson, and we've seen some very, very good growth coming out of there. NGM is, Nevada Gold Mines is putting that forward as one of their main growth, I would say, items at Cortez. So we're going to be looking at that. Got Troilus that's advancing the project. They came out with some very good metallurgical results lately, 90% on gold and copper respectively. So that one is also, you know, they're going through every milestone required prior to project financing. And then you've seen, again, some good news out of RDM, which is one of our smaller ones in Brazil. They've actually decided to, I think they've increased production expectations by 30% versus 2021. So that's going to be a nice little one. It's not the biggest asset, but it's cash flows and it, you know, there's money coming in every single day on that one. And then Bonikro, which is our Ivory Coast asset, that one is also, I would say, showing life extension potential. So, you know, you could see maybe that asset go from 8 to 10 to perhaps 15-year mine life. And, you know, in the current gold environment, that's definitely very important. So the portfolio is doing very, very well. And importantly, the last thing we did in the first quarter is we finally restructured Woodlawn, which was our Australian asset. That's an asset that we've been working on restructuring for the last year and a half. So now we have one of the best operators in Australia develop, which is led by Bill Beaman. So he, you know, he's probably one of the best miners in the world and did an incredible job with his last company. And he's now taken over develop and he's now taken over Woodlawn. So we're very happy that that asset is now in their hands and we could see that one being in production very shortly. So that was the last, I would say, good piece of news that came in. And so the portfolio is doing very well. As I said before, it's never been, I would say, safer and more diversified. So we're in a good spot.
So Vince, what else could investors look forward to then this year, maybe even driving down into some of the development assets that you have in your portfolio or anything else that you think is noteworthy for investors to understand that the company does keep advancing, keep growing?
Yeah, well, the one we didn't mention is we have a royalty on Blackwater, which is the one in BC. And that one, they also came out with an update on the project. They, I think, originally wanted to get their permits before June. Now they're saying it's going to be in Q3. So that's another one to look for, construction starting in the second half of 2022. And they're now fully financed on that front. So, you know, fully financed, just waiting for the construction permits but they're already starting on the early works. So they're doing a bit of work there. But that one's another one that should be in production within the next 18 months. And then on the corporate front, as we mentioned, with the liquidity profile increasing, you know, we've seen, I would say, a steady $1 million threshold of daily liquidity being hit in the last, I would say, well, since the beginning of the year. And if that keeps on going, I would say that there's a good possibility that at the next, I would say rebalance of the indices, that we end up getting included in some of those indices like the JDX and JDXJ. So that would be a very big positive and catalyst for the share price going forward.
Yeah, that inclusion would also be nice, especially because we really have seen more or less a concentration of capital in the companies within some of those ETFs rather than this individual stock picking that investors seem to shy away from. But either way, Vince, you guys continue to grow and you have some very interesting assets. So please keep us up to date on future asset developments. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. Chat is a shareholder, for full disclosure. Again, send us your questions. Vince, thank you as always for your time, and keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you very much.